I'm going to read today from the book of Numbers, the 21st chapter, starting at the 4th verse. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit any man, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. And you say, what kind of God is this? Sending serpents to bite the children of Israel. Whenever God takes his people through a time of supernatural deliverance, whenever the love of God breaks forth in miracle after miracle, you can be sure that the holiness of God also is there and will fall down with fiery judgment on those people who start playing games with his love. If you're going to eat manna from heaven and drink water out of the rock, you better understand that you are also living in a land of fiery serpents. The two O's go together. If you're going to be in a fellowship where John heals the sick and Peter raises the dead and Barnabas prophesies, it's also a fellowship where Ananias and Sapphira are going to die for lying to the Holy Spirit. So, the people of Israel murmur against God and Moses, and these fiery serpents come. And when folks start to die, then they repent. And they run to Moses and say, "Pray for us that God will take away these serpents from us. We've sinned against God and against you because we complained." And God shows Moses to make a serpent and put it on a pole. And when the people look at this serpent of bronze, somehow they're healed. Now, everybody knows that there was no special virtue in this bronze serpent. Why, the very God who told Moses to make that thing also had already told the people that they were not to make any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above or the earth beneath. Yet somehow, when they look at that serpent of bronze, they're healed. Because that serpent of bronze was a sign pointing to something much higher and much holier than a piece of bronze on a stick. The healing power that rushed into their lives as they looked at that thing actually flowed back through the centuries from an event which was way off in the future, where the stick, the pole, would become two cross beams of wood. And the serpent would become a man who was without sin, but who became sin for us, and through his death bore our sins away. For as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. Now the virtue that healed those people as they looked at that serpent had the same source as the blood of the Paschal Lamb, which caused the angel of death to pass over every door that was sprinkled with that blood. These things were signs through which divine, holy, glorious, supernatural healing power flowed. See, but it's not the sign that's important. It's the God who is behind the sign, who moves through the sign, always moves through some kind of sign, to touch his people, to speak to his people, to heal his people, to correct them. But when God is taken away from the sign, when God moves his presence away from that sign, the sign is nothing. It's like an electric light bulb that goes out. Sinai was called a holy mountain as long as God's Spirit was there. When God's Spirit moved on, it was just another hill. The temple was the house of God when God's Spirit was there. But when God's Spirit departed from the temple, as it did, it was just another religious museum. And that serpent of bronze was a sign of the Christ when the Spirit of Christ was there. But when the Spirit of Christ withdrew from that thing, it was just another worthless relic. So what do? Time and again, we take the sign and we wrap it up in linen to keep it for some future occasion when it's needed. This serpent of bronze is marvelous, just what we need. We'll wrap it up and tuck it away, and as soon as another plague comes along, we'll bring it out. We won't have to go through all that repentance. We won't have to humiliate ourselves by confessing our sins to God. We'll just bring out the sign, the serpent, put it up on the pole, and presto, the plague will be gone. And that's exactly what the people of Israel did. For almost 1,000 years, they preserved that worthless relic of bronze. Not as a reminder of those glorious days when God led his people like a flock through the wilderness, but rather they preserved it as something which had virtue in itself. People came to that thing to get healed. They burned incense to it. They brought their problems to it. They worshipped it as if it were some kind of god. And you think they're funny? We do the same thing. You can imagine the testimonies that came. I took my child to the serpent, and from that day his appetite improved. I went to every doctor in Jerusalem, and I couldn't get cured for my boils. Then I went to the serpent, and I haven't had a boil since. What a far cry from the day the people of Israel, with broken, contrite, penitent hearts, looked to that serpent and saw in it a sign of God's forgiveness. What a departure from that glorious time when they looked through that thing and beyond it to the Father, the God, who walked through that wilderness with them. Yea, to the very Spirit of the Messiah, who ministered life to them even there through his death. So down through the whole time of the judges, through the reign of king after king, that bronze serpent on a pole became the rallying point for people who wanted healing, fertility, good luck, and who were too proud or too stubborn or too lazy to draw near to the true and living God with broken, contrite hearts, until, praise God, finally Hezekiah, one of the last and most wonderful kings of Judah, destroyed it. And on the day he destroyed that serpent of bronze, you can be sure, revival broke out in the city of Jerusalem. In the year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, the king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He removed the high places, and broke the pillars, and cut down the Asherah, and he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the people of Israel had burned incense to it. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. Until the end of the age, God will continue to visit his children and confirm his word to his people through signs. Just about everybody in this gathering here who has met Jesus, if you think about it, you'll remember that there is There was a point at which God touched your life through some sign. You know, something made clear to you that your sins were forgiven. Somehow you knew that God really cared about you. Maybe it was the healing of your mind, or the healing of your body, or the opening of some hopeless prison in which you were, of circumstances, or the bringing together of that fragmented home, you know, or the straightening out of that twist in your soul that was there and you knew it. And there are no doubt people in this gathering right now who are in desperate need of just that kind of thing. You need a sign from God. You know, you need something. You're in a position where nothing in this world can help you. No doctor, no lawyer, no politician, no preacher, no brother, no sister, no aunt or uncle, no rich uncle, nobody. Only God. You need help. You know, and if you're in that situation, there's only one thing to do, and that's to tell God where you hurt. I don't care how many times you feel you've cried out and nothing happened. I'm telling you in the name of the Lord today, if you will tell God what that thing is that's causing ache and hurt in your life, He'll touch it today. The same Jesus who went up on that cross and died for you will touch your life, your body, your mind, your circumstances with His healing hand, with the power of His forgiveness. And at that very place where He touches you, life will break forth. And peace and liberty. Things will change. They will. And you will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Son of the living God touched you today. But if you take that sign that God gives you today, or if you take that sign that God gave you 10 years ago and make it an end in itself, you know, if you grab hold of the sign instead of the God who was behind it, if you cling to that spot of ground where it happened, or to that man or woman through which it happened, or to that book, or to that idea that opened the way for it to happen, if you cling to anything other than Jesus Himself, then what you're holding on to is not God, but a serpent of bronze. And there are a lot of us in this place that are walking around loaded down with serpents of bronze. And before there can be anything in your life that is God's redemptive will for it, before God's Spirit can have His way with you, those serpents of bronze have to be pushed out of the way. You've taken a sign that God gave you, a sign through which once you saw the face of Jesus and through which His voice came to you, and instead of reaching out and taking hold of the Lord, you grabbed hold of that thing. And what happened then? What happened was then that the light of God withdrew from it, went out of it, and you got nothing but a dirty old hunk of bronze through which the evil one, who is the serpent, dominates your life and holds it in bondage. Now, Hezekiah understood that if there was going to be any kind of revival in the city of Jerusalem, that serpent of bronze and everything it represented would have to go. And Hezekiah had the guts to do what no king before him did. He had the nerve to go at the whole thing and tear it down. The other kings were afraid to throw down those altars on those high hills and those sacred poles and those idols because they were afraid that there was some power in this thing and that would upset the fruit basket. You know, they'd get bad luck. And especially when they were afraid to tamper with that serpent of bronze. Look what happened back in the wilderness. You know, they made an idol out of this thing and they were afraid to touch it. Something terrible might happen if they do. But we are told in that passage that I read, Hezekiah trusted the Lord, the God of Israel, and was afraid of nothing else. And he went at those things and he smashed them. And that's exactly what has to happen in many of our lives here. Before the Spirit of God can do what He wants to do in your life, your bronze serpent has to go. Those relics of past glory. You know, those little hunks and trinkets that you hold on to from last year's miracle or last year's victory or last week's wonderful experience. You're hanging on to those things. And because you're hanging on to those things, you can't hear God speak to you today. You have to let go of them first. Get out of your religious rut. Let go of your religious crutches. Stop trying to relive last year's religious experience, because Jesus isn't in that thing that happened last year. He was then, but he isn't now. And Jesus isn't in that fragment of last week's miracle that you keep holding around in your pocket and rubbing for good luck. Jesus is speaking to you right now. But you won't hear him until you take that thing out of your pocket and throw it away. All 10 lepers had their eyes on Jesus when they were crying out to him for healing. Then came the healing. And immediately, 9 of them take their eyes off Jesus and put it on the miracle. And they walk on their way, forgetting all about Jesus, and the miracle that they have now in their hands becomes a serpent of bronze. See, instead of following the miracle, which was a sign to the things to which it pointed, following it up into the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, these guys walk on and lose the real value of that healing. One of them, who wasn't even a Jew, wasn't even a church member, he was a Samaritan, one of them pagans out there on the streets, he followed the light of his healing right up into the glory of God. And that's the message of the Spirit to us today. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else, saith the Lord. Not to serpents of bronze, not to signs and wonders, not to your past experiences and feelings, but to me as I hang on the cross, stretched out for your sins. Trust me. And I will be your life this day. It is not just those sinners out there in the world who need to know Jesus. It's saints inside the church whose lives are cluttered with serpents of bronze. God help us to crush those things, so that our hope and our joy and our confidence are in Jesus alone, nothing else. May God help us to do some house cleaning, every one of us in our lives, starting right now, that the glory of God may return to his temple. Let's wait upon him in prayer now, shall we? We're asking, Lord Jesus, that right now you will make this specific application to each of our lives, and that you will show each one of us here where his serpents of bronze really are, and deliver us, O God, from looking at the serpents that other people are carrying. Deliver us from this cop-out of seeing everybody else's problem except our own. Help us now to see what you're showing us in our own hearts. And we confess to you, Lord, we're afraid to let go. Somehow or other, we're afraid of that, to do anything to that serpent. We've made a god out of it. We're superstitious about it. Oh, God, deliver us from this, that Jesus alone may be our Lord, our deliverer, our healer, our master, our Savior, our hope, and our peace, this day and every day until we see him in glory. Amen.